Me.
What's up, Cubs? Just sloppy as all fucking get out. Trapzilla City. Babe, I'm gonna keep dancing on that bridge till the stars come home.
And cheer up, babe.
Fucking knocked it out of the park, dude. What's up, Cubs and my boss? Welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. This is episode 103, and I'm your host, VJ Julio. You might not have caught that there. I'm super good at slipping things in subtextually. I'm super good at slipping things in under the wire. My boss knows about the podcast and she listens now. Which, you know, here's what happened. I'm my own worst enemy when I'm at my best. Let me explain. You get Vinny G turned into Captain Bubbles. You get Vincent James Julio the first, pippity popping on all cylinders. Just, you get VJ Julio dancing on that bridge till the stars come home, and shit just falls apart. Okay? You get me well rested, caffeinated, and I got a workout in that day, so the biorhythms are at top notch. Dude, I'll say anything. I had a one-on-one meeting with my boss, and I was just talking. And that was the latter definition is exactly what had happened. I worked out really hard that morning. I slept like 7 hours the night before, and I had a quad shot over ice in my bloodstream. And I was just pippity-popping. And I'm in a one-on-one meeting with my boss, and I just, it was like in the middle of a sentence, said my podcast. And then I flagged that I said my podcast, and I tried to just keep talking. Okay? I tried to just keep talking. But here's the deal. We work in sales, all right? So we're trained to do one thing, and that's absorb every single thing that's being talked about. Okay? That's having the emotional intelligence to be able to pick points out of a conversation to be able to relay, you know, in the biz, we call it a callback, but we do that in conversational patterns. And it's definitely a skill. And it definitely bit me on the ass because I was pippity popping on all cylinders and I was dancing on the bridge till the star came home. And now my boss knows I have a podcast. Damn. So we continue on. After I said it, I mentioned something about work, or I mentioned something about something going on with my day. And that was like the continuation after I let the cat out of the bag. Because here's the deal. I like to keep it separate. Okay. I'm VJ Julio in my personal life and on this podcast. And I'm Vince at work. All right. There's a professional separation there. Also for Googling purposes. But it's like, I don't like the paths to cross. And they crossed with the most important person in my career life right now. Okay, so when Joey Bubbles gets up and old Cap'n, I need to do worse things for myself. I need to not treat myself good. I need to keep my biorhythms low because I'm smarter, because I have more of a filter. And I had to call her today for a question about work. So I gave her a quick little call and she answered the phone. Hey, Cubs.
Oh, it's over, dude.
And she listened to the most recent episode, and the only thing I was thinking of is, what the fuck did I talk about in the most recent episode? So I had to give her the whole breakdown. I showed her the studio and the webcam and all that stuff, because I only get to talk to my colleagues and workmates via a computer screen, and that part gets a little daunting. I like personal connection. I also like to know, how tall are people in real life, you know? What are we looking at chest down, you know? What are we looking at? I know what all of y'all's jawline looks like, but am I going to be looking up at you if we're chitty chatting, or am I going to be looking down on you? And the answer is probably I'm going to be looking straight on, because I am exactly average height. 5'10", for those of you wondering. And then now I'm trying to circumnavigate. I made her swear it. Actually, I didn't make her do anything. She's completely capable of making her own decisions based off of her own volition, but I begged her not to say a single word about it to anybody on our team. And we have a relatively big team, like the biggest team in our company, eat a dick. And I was like, you can't, please don't, just keep it separate. And she respected me And thanks God she comes from an emotionally intelligent, like spiritual yoga-esque background where she's very, very understanding of people's emotional capacities. And she can also get a vibe on, hey, he really doesn't want me to talk about this with people in his professional life, which I think is fair. Okay, but old Joey Bubbles comes out and just tries to self-sabotage. Actually, you know what? It's not that I try to self-sabotage. It's just that I do, babe. I just do. Like, you know how my narcissism score? No, it wasn't narcissism. Fuck, I always ruin this. Neuroticism. You know how my neuroticism score was a 3? You get me highly caffeinated, just worked out, and a good night of sleep. That is a 0, dude. I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? I'll say whatever the hell I want to say, dude. And you guys have probably picked up on that based off of different episodes of this podcast. You know, we got, when we're standing on that bridge together and we're just waiting for those stars to come home, y'all are like, he's caffeinated out the wazoo right now. And I will let you know what comes of it. Okay. I will let you know what comes of it. She answered the phone. Hey, Cubs, today, listen to the most recent episode. And I said, all of this is fine as long as you buy merch and leave a good review for the podcast.
Buy merch, bitches.
Thank you, Mads. Okay. Speaking of which, cheerupbabe.shop for all your Cub needs. Okay. A lot of y'all got your orders so far. Had a couple orders that took a while. Sorry about that. Didn't get there before Christmas. I apologize. I don't really have any control over that. Different items on the site are fulfilled through different t-shirt print companies in the States. And so it's really in their hands there. But speaking of Christmas, wow, the holidays suck, huh? Let's get into it. All right. Y'all just like me and just making all sorts of new friends that you don't want to make during the holidays. Y'all just like me and you got to run to Costco and you make physical contact with over 50 people because it's so packed. Hey, shop earlier, all right? Shop earlier, okay? You shouldn't be in there picking out vacuums and Roombas and shit like that. Those are two of the same things, different brands. But you shouldn't be shopping for items 2 days before Christmas, okay? That's not what I was doing. I was trying to swing in there and grab some dip. I was trying to get their Parmesan jalapeno artichoke dip. Dude, by the way, 10 out of 10. Highly recommend. I was trying to, and I'm just like, a trip to the grocery store to get dip shouldn't take 40 minutes inside the grocery store. And I also shouldn't have to make physical contact with 50 people. I shouldn't have to consistently brush up against people so consistently that after time number 10, you're just done apologizing about it. I mean, I lived in Minnesota for 3 years. Oh, is like second nature. That whole thing, you bump someone, oh, or you're about to run into someone, oh, I oped 10 times and then dead silence from me because you're also making contact with me. It's not like it's all on me. So essentially the holidays broke that Minnesota bullshit that I picked up. Oh, sorry. That bullshit that was like becoming ingrained in my soul. Dead now. Old Santa Claus's season just burnt that shit right out of me. I was like, we're making all sorts of new friends. You know, I'm very, very strict on the no new friends policy. And not from like a I don't trust you, like it's cool, like when a rapper says it, but like a I don't have the energy to give you some of my energy, dog. Okay? So please get your knee off of my knee and let me get my dip. The holidays are great. Like in reality, it's like the most beautiful holiday season that the family and I have ever had because we're actually back around family. And I have my daughters around family during the holidays for the first time in their life. And that's all fantastic. You take a step outside of the home though, and it's murder, dude. It's murder. I want to purge. I go inside the home. It's Ahu Dore Fahu Lore. Welcome Christmas. Door closes behind you. Welcome to the purge. For the next 24 hours, all crime is legal. And I'm just like, where's my bat with nails in it? You know, that's, I'm very, very strict on that. Very, very strict. And now that I'm a full-grown adult man with a family, holidays are not relaxing. I remember being in school and like college break and shit like that, and it was just the most restful, recovering time of all time. And now I need a vacation after my vacation, okay? Because vacations don't exist because I work up to Christmas Eve, and then you don't work Christmas Eve, you don't work Christmas Day, but those days are jam fucking packed with four events and family coming in and out, which is awesome, but it is energy draining. It's not like you're like, I feel so energized and excitable after that day. It's like, no, dude, I need a fucking spa day, all right? But it was absolutely fantastic. My girls got like three Christmases, dude. They got like three, like we had our Christmas, and then we went over to Uncle Boone and Auntie Kay's house and saw the cousin and everything, and there was a bunch of family over there. And then later on, Pop-Pop and Gigi came over with a literal Christmas of presents. And we spent the next 30 minutes opening another Christmas of presents. And then Jordan and I sat there for about 2 hours after everyone left and went, where the fuck are we going to put all this? Like, what do parents do now? We've never experienced this before. And you're like, wow, this is a first world problem. Dude, this is a good problem to have. I'm not complaining about the problem in and of itself, okay? I'm extremely grateful and acknowledge that this is a very, very good problem to have. I have so many people that love my family that at the holidays there's a surplus, okay? I understand that. But sitting back as mom and dad, I go, we have 26 dolls now. What's my life, you know? What's my life? Also, Lottie called me BJ. And that's just a side note. That's just a side note. Lottie heard Jordan say VJ one time, and it's fucking over, dude. I hear Lottie up the stairs yelling something. I'm downstairs in the kitchen, and she's like, she's yelling something. I'm like, what is she saying? And she was saying, BJ, look at this. BJ, look at this. BJ, look at this. And I was like, did you say VJ? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, who? Dude, it got into my prime. I was like, no. Okay. I'm all about my girl's freedom of expression. And I'm all about them letting them be themselves. I love it. I'm raising some strong-willed, independent girls. But the one thing we're going to stay classically traditional on is I'm your fucking father, dude. You don't know. 0%. 0%. Like, you hear about other kids that, like, call their parents, hey, Jeff. Oh, dude, I love you with all my heart, but I'll kick you through a wall, okay? I'll never lay a hand on you, but call me BJ again, and I bet I'm going to get 20 fucking yards of clearance, all right? You're dense. You're compact. You're like a ball already, dude. I will boot you if you call me BJ again. Also, it's VJ, you disrespect. But yeah, my little difficult one, Lottie, dude, just call me BJ. And then, here's the thing. I understand she's not using it as a way to say my name, because every single time I go, who am I? And she goes, Daddy. And I'm like, yeah. So I understand that she's not calling me that in like a, hey, VJ sort of way. She heard Jordan call out to me, VJ, and I responded. So she thinks that, like, oh, this is a call out. This is just something you call out to Daddy and he responds. So, BJ, look at this. Or BJ, mirror. And I'm like, who am I, dude? She's like, Daddy. And I'm like, yeah. So some things are getting lost in translation, and that's fine. And a lot of things get lost in translation with Lottie, like the fact that I was laying in bed with her the other night and she saw a ghost. One second. Let me try that again. The fact that I was laying in bed with her last night and she saw a ghost. Damn. And did it strike fear into my heart? And did I not know what to say? And if the lights were on, would I have been the same color as a whiteboard? And wondering, yeah, dude. Fucked me up for a second. I'm laying in bed, right? We read books. I'm laying in bed with Lottie, and she always does this. Dude, it's so cute now. I lay down with her, and she goes, and I'll give her a kiss, and she goes, we're going. And I'm like, I'll lay with you for a minute. She goes, okay. And then she lays so that she's facing me and I lay so that I'm facing her. And then we just kind of look at each other for a little bit because I'm just like kind of rubbing her back, letting her relax right into her sleeping position. And we're doing that. And I'm just wrapped up in how amazing fatherhood is. And then she goes, "Who's that?" Looking like right here. Okay. Now here's the deal. I know when the door opens because the hallway light's on. So if the door opens and the hallway light's on, the light's going to cast into the room. It's an immediate red flag like, hey, the door just opened, right? That didn't happen. So I go, "What?" And she goes, "Who's that?" And I went, "No one, baby. What do you mean?" And she goes, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Right there?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Nobody's there, baby. What do you see?" And she goes, "That girl."
Ah! Oh!
"That girl," she said. She said "that girl." So she made a new friend. And my blood turned cold. And I felt teleported to a little movie called The Conjuring. Now, here's the thing. You might remember when Gracie was this age and she dropped this bullshit on me. So either we're haunted or let's be realistic about this. Or we have a guardian angel. You know, life is about perspective and it's all about how you frame things. So I feel frigid cold chills run down my spine and I go, it's a guardian angel, you know? You believe in God? Come on, you're a Christian man. Like, come on, man. You're good. You're good, brother. There's not a little girl from the 1820s in 1820s garb, ghost white, right behind you that you can't see, you know? She's not talking to your daughter when you leave the room, you know? That's not happening, you know? Sure, you hear Lottie talk when she's in her room by herself quite a bit, and she babbles a lot, but you just chalk that up to she's got a little bit of extra energy and she's winding herself down to sleep because that's what always happens. Eventually, she falls asleep. I didn't know that she was falling asleep talking to fucking Susie B. Comanthinator or whatever the fuck a demon word is, you know? It fucked me up. Now, it has not repeated, so therefore, I'm okay, you know? But I felt myself teleported to a little movie called The Conjuring. And every time you watch that movie and a haunting happens, you always go like, "Hey, y'all, hey, easy fix here, Conjuring cast, move," all right? Every single horror movie that includes a haunting in a house should go like this. Kid laying in bed. Hello? Door. Whoopsh! Slams closed. Shadowy demon figure behind the door. Ah! Parents run in. Kid crying. "Mom, Dad, there was a man behind my door." I'll call the realtor. You can't call the realtor. It's 11:33 at night. I'm already on the phone. Yeah, we need to sell the house, and we're gonna pack up, and we're gonna get out of here right now. Right? Every time I'm watching one of those movies, I'm like, "Hey, cast members, just do that." Every single movie should be like that, and then the credits should roll, and every single movie should be one scene long, and it should be 6 minutes. All right. You could get a little bit of story arc in the beginning to show that, oh, they have competent parents that are going to protect their children and also trust their children when their children say that there's a man in my room. I get that. But then it happened in my life and Lottie's dropping, "Who's that?" on me behind my fucking shoulder and then double down with "That girl." And now, The Conjuring 4, featuring the Giulio family, we're in the midst of it, you know? I'm sure if this was the movie that they were recreating, they would put this scene in there where I have a podcast and I joke about the fact that my daughter saw a ghost. I joke about it, and then all of the people watching this movie go, "He knew about it. He should have just got him out of the house right then." But that's obviously not what's going to happen. We're just going to play it out. All right? So I no longer blame cast members for making bad decisions during haunting movies because I'm currently in one. All right? Happy New Year. Now I know we're basically 20 minutes into this and I haven't talked about the elephant in the room. Things are different now, aren't they, Cubs? Things are different now. Oh, here's the elephant in the room. I'm returning to my roots. How do we know that, Cubs? Those of you watching, I'll give you 3 seconds to decide. One, two, three. I have a vest on, okay? And those of you that are just listening, sorry for that right hook out of nowhere. You had no idea that was coming. But basically what I'm saying is I'm back to my Idaho roots and we're about to buy some land and I'm going to buy some cattle. And that's just what we're going to do, dude. I have my entire life planned out now. I'm still wearing a golf hat because I'm true to my hobbies, but I am wearing a vest because we're going to return to the blue collar phase of my life. We're going to return to it. We're going to buy some land now that we're making money, and I'm going to buy cattle. And Vijay, do you know anything about taking care of cattle? No, but I'm sure there's YouTube videos for that, dude. Okay, we're going to figure it out. All I'm saying is I'm back to my roots, and I fucking love it. Now, I'm not going to return all the way back to my roots and actually start a potato farm like I worked on when I was a younger man. And I know, so funny, Idaho worked on a potato farm. Yeah, there's a reason that stereotypes exist. There's only potato farms here, babe. There's only potato farms here. So yes, I worked on a potato farm with my best friend who had it figured out. I actually thought about this like 2 weeks ago. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, Casey West and I, we became best friends through high school, through where like we were both captains of the wrestling team. That's kind of, we started bonding early on in high school when we both had success in wrestling. So we both became the captains, we're both winning state titles, and we bonded over that. We started hanging out a lot, and then we started doing stupid shit during the weekends and the off season together, you know, just classic high school shit, like going to a 18 and under dance club called the Vortex in Southeast Idaho. Oh, that was like a rave with black lights. Oh, and I had a fake tooth. So my fake tooth shows up as purple under black lights and the rest of my teeth show up in normal teeth color, which is like green under black lights. So I had one purple tooth when I went to the Vortex black light dance club. Oh, but anyways, Casey and I were really good friends, and I was always like, if you stick around your hometown, you shorted yourself. If you graduate and you don't go on an adventure, you short yourself. And Casey's whole thing is, so his family's farm was the farm that I worked on. And Casey was going to just go to college 20 minutes away at Idaho State University in Pocatello, and then take over the farm. And I was flabbergasted. I was like, what are you talking about, dude? Go on an adventure. Like, no, don't stick around here. You're going to get trapped in American Falls for the rest of your life. And it was just from the concept of like, this is all we know. Let's go explore and learn more. Like, let's go out there and explore and learn more. And as a young man, I always had that kind of bias towards him, that prejudice against him, where I'm like, why, dude? Leave. Go. Figure it out. But Casey, and he never verbalized it to me, but he had it figured out early on. He was born to like older parents, right? So I feel like he had a little bit more mature upbringing in terms of what things he was being taught are important, okay? Like for me, which I don't wish that this was different at all. I'm super stoked on it. For me, it was like work ethic, success, confidence, adulation. That was kind of like, that shaped my childhood because work ethic begets success, begets confidence, begets adulation. And if I find ways to continue that cycle in my life, I'm continually happy. And that is where I have prospered throughout my life, is because I understand that it starts with a work ethic, right? So it's like, if you want this one, you got to start here and da 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 da, right? But Casey was always just happy looking at a field, and I didn't get it. And now I am, and now here we are 13 years later. And I look at Casey, and I'm so proud of him. He listened to his heart. He listened to what he felt would be the right move for him in his life. He pictured his life at a young age. I didn't picture my life at a young age. I pictured how I wanted to be and the things I wanted to accomplish. I didn't picture like my life as if it were drawn, as if it were painted on a canvas. I didn't picture like the physical presence of my life. So that caused me to bounce around a lot. I mean, Jordan and I hopped here to there, here to there. We always had like an end plan, but it wasn't ever pictured, right? I never pictured it. It was always, what am I doing and what am I accomplishing? So the intrinsic stuff kind of, and his was more of the, where am I? And now granted, I might be putting words into his thoughts that we never really articulated, but from what I see is that was kind of his reasoning for sticking around. And if that is true, to that being his reasoning for sticking around, I'm so proud of him, because now that I'm an adult and I have my kids and I have my beautiful wife and I have like the unit that I've always wanted, I've cultivated this family that I've always wanted and it is working, I yearn to have them in a place. Now, I don't yearn for it anymore because they are in a place that's safe now. You know, like that's the reason we moved back, is so that they could be given all the opportunity and safety that I believe that they're warranted. But in terms of like what our day-to-day looks like, starting the day with some work outside and tending to something with your hands to nurture it and take care of it, to yield a product that you're proud of, is something that I aspire for now. And Casey had that figured out early on. It's simple and it's true. And I don't know. I love it. I think also in my like current position, you know, sales is fast paced and sales is a lot of talk, which I'm all about that. But it's like I do yearn for blue collar a little bit. I miss it, right? Like I do, now I'm doing like a lot of side projects and stuff, like building stuff, but which I've always enjoyed and I've always done. But in terms of my day-to-day, I think that's the reason. Like I was joking about the whole buying land and getting cattle. Like my wife has always wanted a funny farm, so we are going to make that happen. So I am going to buy some land and get a funny farm, but I yearn for the nurturing and taking care of something outside of myself and outside of my family where it requires the use of my labor and my hands. And I'm biting at the bit to make that another staple of my life, because I'm not designed to not do that in some capacity. I don't want to make it my job because I really love my job, especially now. And talking is a strength of mine, and therefore utilizing that in order to provide for my family is a huge win for me, and I'm so glad. But I've only ever known physical exertion. And so therefore the fact that I have to go outside of my day-to-day in order to find that has turned itself into a little bit of a hassle and a little bit of a problem that I need to rectify. That's probably why my workouts are hyper dialed in right now. It's probably why I'm doing things. I did another fast. I did a 48-hour fast to reset my system after the holidays. And since that fast, I don't eat flour or bread or sugar at all, because those were the things that were making me like super inflamed. So yeah, for this whole week, I've like basically only eaten very simple. I basically kicked my body into ketosis and I've kept it there. No carbs. So, and I feel amazing, but I'm having to do these little circumnavigating outside of my day-to-days in order to bring some sort of focus to my physical. And it's been working, but I am going to continue to make steps to increase that tenfold. And that's just a little update. That's just a little peek behind the scenes, dude. That's just a little peek behind the curtain on what's going on in Papa Cub's day-to-day life. So all that to say, I'm back to my roots. Dude, oh God. I had my first like Idaho prejudice. I had my first like, why the fuck are y'all here Now, don't get nervous. This isn't a racial thing. Okay, I just felt about 50% of your buttholes tighten up. This isn't a racial thing. I had to go to a homeowner meeting, and it's in this little tiny town that's around a lake up here. And on my way back from there, like this is rural Idaho. Like when you get to the outskirts, like really the only towns are around lakes in this part of the state. And so like, as I'm driving through, it's like old highway and a gas station off to the right. Like, so I pull off cause I had to get gas on my way back in, and I was filling up gas. I wasn't wearing my vest. I was professional. Okay. I looked fucking good. Like anybody who doesn't want to do business with me doesn't have good taste. Okay. Now, So I pull up to the gas station and I'm in my silver F-150 because I'm an Idahoan, and I see that I pop out, get the gas going, and then I get back in the truck. I'm just going to let her fill her up to the top because that's the kind of life I live now. No more $10 on pump three, please. We're just going to start it and let it stop when it's full. Sorry about it. Woo! Damn, I ain't been broke in a minute. And so I'm sitting in the truck. I'm letting the truck fill up. And I'm looking over at the person just to the other side of the pump of me. So they're filling up at the same pump on the other side. And they're an older couple. They're probably like 70, if I had to guess. Both of them like under 5'6". So just picture the cutest old couple of all time. Okay. But you could tell based off of her attire, they come from money. Okay. So I see them. There's kind of a disturbance in the force over by them. I'm kind of like, I'm peeking out of my periffs a little bit. I'm glancing over, but I'm not staring. Okay. I'm not my kids. I'm not staring, but I'm looking over and they're like, there's a lot of hand motion. I could tell they're confused about something. Like something's going on. They have a problem afoot. And I'm kind of watching and I'm like, okay, gas pops off, right? And right as the gas pops off, I go to get out of my truck. And the husband had started walking into the gas station. And the lady, as I'm getting out of my truck, is like standing off to the side of the gas pump, looking at me, smiling. And I was like, okay, first of all, creepy. Maybe that's the mom of the ghost that's in my house. So I like look at her, I make eye contact. I pop out and I go, hi, ma'am. And because I'm Idahoan. And I go, hi, ma'am. And she was like, oh, this is just, oh, this is such a weird, the weirdest problem. And I was like, what's going on? And she goes, we don't know how to pump gas. Now, you were born before gas was invented. Okay. That's my first thought that comes to my head. You existed in the same time frame that Henry Ford did. I can tell. Okay. Now, granted, you're wearing what I would assume is a $3,500 coat, and you're definitely out of place at this gas station. But I'm confused as to that statement of, we don't know how to pump gas. So I smile awkwardly and I don't really say anything. And she's smiling at me, waiting for a response. And my response was, what? And her response was, we're from California. We only have electric cars. And I kept my smile because I'm a salesman. But I thought, go back to your state. Okay. I thought, if you don't know how to pump gas, we don't want you. Okay. Now you might be like, VJ, this would have been a perfect opportunity to step in and help the elderly. They don't need elderly. They don't need help. They are elderly. They don't need help, okay? With how much money that was just dripping off of them, they should have brought an assistant so that he could pump their gas because they obviously haven't done it. Imagine how long you have had to go not pumping gas to forget how to pump gas. Imagine that. Picture that for a second. That means for what? I would assume like probably a decade of not doing something would make your first time back at it probably a little rocky. Like, could you imagine not having sex for 10 years? I mean, some of you can. You're in it. But could you imagine, like, not doing something for 10 years and then jumping back in it? I'm sure the first time would be a little rocky. So my assumption is they haven't had to pump gas in 10 years. Or they have a driver. That, and then we might be looking at, like, 30 years, right? If they've had a driver. I went back 10 years because, like, wasn't it 10 years that electric cars even got introduced? But regardless. So I had my first, like, oh, get the fuck out of my state. But I didn't say that. And I didn't really know what to say. So she goes, we're from California. We only have electric cars. And I went, oh, okay. And I put the pump away and I got my truck and I drove away. Get out of here, dude. Hey. We don't need you. All right. God, I hope you're on vacation and not. I hope you didn't move up here. Okay. Because the last people we need up here is people that don't know how to pump gas, okay? We got to keep it true. And you might be like, Vijay, that's borderline racist. They were 70-year-old white people, okay? They were one generation from racism, okay? So in reality, with this story, it's them. It's not me, all right? So let's keep that in perspective, all right? With their little fucking electric cars and shit, leave. But anyways, let's do some unqualified dad advice. And for this, for episode 103's unqualified dad, I got to take the vest off, dude. You can't wear a vest and sit down, all right? Because the collar's just touching your chin the whole fucking time. It's like, I'm not actually, I wore this to make a point that I'm back to my roots. But my roots also say, you're inside, you're sweaty, and also the collar's touching your chin a whole bunch because you're sitting down in a vest. You know what I mean? So give me a second. And yeah, you can see my nipples in this shirt. So this week's unqualified dad advice is going to be one submission, and it's from a cub, and it was DM'd to me, and we're going to help her unpack it. Okay, now here's how I'm going to handle it. I am going, because it's a novel, all right? It's a novel. I'm not going to say her name because this is personal stuff. So for the sake of the unqualified dad advice segment, we're going to name her Joey Giggles. So Joey wrote to me, and she left me a novel, so I'm going to read through the whole thing, and then I'm going to peel back layers, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to kind of navigate this road as we talk through it, as we do. And then when I'm editing this, I'm going to cut out portions of the initial post that we ended up, that ended up being a non-factor in the response in order to save us some time, because Joey, I love you. But you sent me Harry Potter 8, okay? But no, sincerely, I really appreciate when you guys submit stuff, and it makes it a lot more personal. And there is potential that I don't cut any of it out because it all might be pertinent to this. I read through it really, really quick right when it got sent to me, and then since then, I haven't really thought about it because, as you know, I like to keep this as organic and true to the cause as possible. We talk it out as we read it, all right? And it's a little bit of family drama, so we love that shit. So, hey, Papa Bear, have an unqualified dad advice topic that is stressing me out. Couldn't post it on Reddit. Do not know why. Hope sending it here is okay. By the way, yes, always okay. However you want to submit an advice section, you can go to unqualified dad advice on Reddit, or you can just send me a message. Totally fine. Hey, Papa Bear and Cubs, I need to get this off my chest, and it's now making me doubt myself. Trigger warnings. Future in-law problems, family trauma, anxiety, relationship rough patches, shame, deadbeat parents, and abuse. I don't think shame is a trigger warning. I think we're all just pretty ashamed of ourselves. And we just got to live in that. I appreciate the trigger warnings for the other things because I don't know what my listeners are sensitive to. Obviously, they listen to Cherubid the podcast, so they're not sensitive to too much. But always appreciate trigger warnings. Shame is not does not belong there. I got to not derail because we got to get through this. Let me start off. I am a 30-year-old lady in a relationship of about 2 years, almost three, and honestly believe I have found the man I want to marry and start a family with. But here it gets complicated. His family triggers the fuck out of me. She put fuck out of me in quotes. Last episode during unqualified dad advice, you mentioned you hit the nail on the head without thinking about it. Quote, how someone does something is how they do everything. And you said the wise old Buddha saying of people who sweep shit under the rug are accustomed to doing it and they will not change, so cut them off. And I was laying in bed and I felt that personally. I like to discuss things and have issues on the table, and my significant other's family does just what you mentioned. I will preface this with trying to be mindful that what I will divulge can/will trigger people. I am sorry in advance many times for this, but it is these reasons that are making me doubt and feel anxiety about being married/parenting with my significant other and the future of our relationship, and praying it is healthy and loving like I pray for it to be. And your relationship/family, Papa Bear, gives me hope that it is possible. That is unbelievably sweet. I did not grow up with a super close-knit family, no two parents, stable household income, or even grew up in a house, so my actual perspective on what family is and what it should be is messed up, so I don't know how to feel about my significant other's family because the thought of sharing holidays/my kids' lives and my life with them makes me want to run. I just realized my post looks like a blog post. I just have a lot to say. The problem is now I see the true colors of the family he is surrounded by. He is close to his family just like I am. It's all we have, but it's so hurtful growing up this way and seeing your family as the way they are. His family treats him like shit, and I can't stomach it. We had a conversation where I had to stand my ground, and it hurt me to do so. His parents are neo-community Catholics. What is that, like a Nazi Catholic? Neo? Does neo not mean not? Is neo-Nazi just a term, but neo is like its own separate word? Neo-community Catholics? Well, I know we got to get through this, but we got to, what does neo mean? A combination form meaning new, recent, revived, or modified. Used in the formation of compound words like neo-Darwinism, Neolithic, neo-Orthodoxy, and neophyte. I'm not smart enough to know what any of those words mean, but revived. So they're Nazi Catholics. Oh, and then she put, that is the term, don't know what that is. But they allowed his older sister to find an older man when she was barely 13, 14 and get pregnant by him. And I'm out. And I'm pissed. Kid having a kid. Okay. The same girl is now near 40, birthed about 6 kids to the same pervert, and she married him too. So obviously at 13, 14 years old, becoming a mom is not what she wanted, and she went on a binge to reclaim her youth and partied and drank her way through clubs while my significant other babysat and practically raised her kids by force and while they were at work. Got it. He would have to take care of the kids, being the youngest of three, because, quote, that's what family does, and she would disappear for days/weeks at a time, leaving her kids crying and wondering where she is. The same person still lives with their elderly parents with all her kids and wreaks havoc with her horrible attitude. Entitled big-ass mouth because she feels leeching off her parents' home is okay, and it's cheaper to live in with all their kids. Yeah. All right. I'm drawing narratives as we go. We'll talk about it at the end. So my significant other and his sister's relationship is horrible. No shit! He has an older brother who has his own issues but still lives there but will not have any relationship with her kids and cannot be anywhere near his sister. Yeah, because she sucks. And she's also a victim of her environment. Yeah, sure. Go marry that guy. Yeah, go fuck that guy. You're 13? Yeah, you went through puberty. Go fuck that guy. Fuck the grandparents. You know what I mean? But, the distaste and loathe on his face is super clear whenever she is around. His parents will not allow anyone to talk negatively about her or her now being abusive towards her kids. Great. What a wonderful addition to the story. By treating them horribly and yelling at them in front of me and her family, but is a hypocritical narcissist and will behave pleasantly for their church group to keep appearances that she is a devoted single mom. I keep forgetting that they're Nazi Catholics, dude. I keep forgetting about that because... Anyways, I saw what she is about, and I get sick to my stomach because my own father abandoned me the way she did after her three oldest kids, and he had many more kids and lived his life while I suffered his absence. And now that I'm older, it pisses me off to understand he slept around and abandoned those kids in some way like it was normal. I don't know why this triggers the fuck out of me and makes me not want her anywhere near me or my future babies. His parents treat him like shit. And now this is talking about her significant other. His parents treat him like shit that he is a 31-year-old man. They alienate him and talk about him so negatively like he is the black sheep of shame in their uber-conservative, close-knit, church-devoted family. And it infuriates me because he lost a childhood, has trauma regarding having kids, was a 10-pound baby his parents did not plan, and he gets constantly reminded of that by his mom. Wow. He drank for a few years to escape the madhouse he lived in and did some recreational drugs during his clubbing slash festival days, but he decided to move out after getting his degree and leave his toxic family and house behind, and now he is, from what it seems, welcomed to his own house. He has always criticized about his past mistakes, loves his nephews and nieces dearly, and tries to be involved and has opinions on some things. He gets berated for doing so. He is not uber religious as they want and is considered a heathen and a drunk for it. Oh, yeah? Okay. No. Nope. Just keep going. Just keep going. It makes no sense, and I'm so pissed off just trying to explain this. It's not fair, and it's fucked up. I cry because it's clear they don't respect him, and I'm sure they will not respect me and our family, but he has enough grace and respect to tolerate them and still loves them mostly. I think it will hurt him to cut them off completely, and I fully understand that, but I can't see myself just sitting there for coffee or visiting and just pretending all is fine as I watch his interactions with, or worse, treat him badly. I will defend him and tear them a new one. It's not right, and I feel bad for feeling so offensive towards them, but I defend the people I love and I can't help. But my reality is I am just his girlfriend. We are not engaged or even married yet. So is it even okay for me to feel this way? Is it wrong to blow up on his family if I feel like I'm stuck in the middle? Does he need to take affirmative action and stop being passive slash understanding towards the family that treats him like shit? I lost it crying just thinking I will not be accepted like a daughter-in-law should be and loved as a part of a family with the dynamic I see. I always hoped when I marry, it will be to a loving, kind, warm, respectful family who includes me and wants me as one of their own. Have babies with a good, loving, passionate, protective man whom I will work hard and love endlessly to create and protect our little family with. I feel so conflicted because I care about him. I love him. I know that. Okay, pause. Let's real quick dive into that. I lost it crying just thinking I will not be accepted like a daughter-in-law should be and loved as a part of a family with the dynamic I see. I always hoped when I marry it will be to a loving, kind, warm, respectful family who includes me and wants me as one of their own. Next sentence, having babies with a good, loving, passionate, protective man whom I will work hard and love endlessly to create and protect our little family with. Pause. There is a big separation between those two things. And you need to realize which one holds more weight and which one is more true. We'll get into it more in just a second. But once you create your own family, your old family drops down on the pedestal, especially when it comes to the way they treat your family. I think I've talked about this before. After you become dad, you're not son anymore. Or after you become mom, you're not daughter anymore. You're mom. They're grandparents. You're mom. You're grown, you know. So there's a big separation there. And there's also the potential for falling out or cutting out if they make steps that are not benefiting your family. Or let's say it more aggressively, if they make steps against your family. If they try to cause harm to your family, they are just another person at that point that can be cut off. But let's continue on. But all of our recent issues have put such a strain on our relationship, from his stress due to his family problems and how it's taking a toll on him to me, feeling like we clash so much lately on some issues but try to find the balance every day and stick close to each other. Lately, I feel so burned out and like my needs are not being met. Sex life is weird because I feel like I need to guide and take control a lot. I am still healing and working on myself. I have promised myself to not involve myself in toxic relationships. I grew up in one. I'm mentally exhausted from it. I feel like I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. I want him, but his family dynamic kind of traumatizes me. I feel depleted seeing it all happen, hearing him talk about it, trying to understand it, see him so down and mentally out of it most days or not present at home. He's an attractive man, kind, loving, with a great mind, so intelligent and hardworking. He treats me well and I love him for who he is. I see what a great man he is, but his self-esteem is so low because of this, and he is a subdued man and not assertive like I hope he chooses to be to lead our family. There it is. I was going to say that, but you said it. I'm very grateful he has been on my side during so many moments and helped me get back on my feet. We live together and it tears at me to watch him look down and stressed, and our relationship has taken the toll and I don't feel close to him as I was. We almost broke up like 2 times because it feels so tense and he shuts down at times, but I stick it out and try to remain positive, love him hard, and work together. I fear that I will be looked at being selfish or looking out for myself and my best interests, but I cannot lose myself in another relationship because when it went to shit, I lost that person and myself and worse, my self-respect, and it has hurt me beyond belief. I need advice, please, and I don't know where to start, how to feel, or what to do. Maybe there's perspectives I don't see yet, or am I just overwhelmed? Thank you in advance for all the comments and advice. OG Bear Cub. Thank you, Joey. Whew. Okay, so he has all the characteristics of the man that you want except for the big one, okay? And the big one is confidence, right? Like, no man, regardless of how intelligent or loving or hardworking, is going to get anywhere or make you feel fully secure if confidence is not involved, because confidence also comes with a few skills. Like, if you're confident, you're assertive. If you're confident, you're able to speak up for yourself. If you're confident, you're able to voice your thoughts, period. That's what confidence is. Confidence is being comfortable enough in your thoughts that you are going to voice them to whoever is either going against them or needs to hear it. That's confidence. And that, in terms of like leading a family, is so important. Now, your part in this, like, okay, so let's just spark note that, okay, you got an amazing man who comes from an absolutely fucked family, and there's a lot of dynamics that are playing into it, but you are definitely feeling overwhelmed right now. That's why that post was so long. You felt like you needed to get every single thing that's bothering you about the situation on the table, when in reality, the answer is you want to know what the future holds with him. And to get there, you need to understand what he wants for his family relationship. Like, how does he see himself in a decade after a wife and kids, with his own family unit? How does he see the dynamics cross across the table with mom and dad and brother and sister? And I was going to say the baby daddy, but he's probably dead now because he was old as fuck when he got a 13-year-old pregnant. But that's a side note. Okay, that's a little side note. I think the reason that you feel so overwhelmed is there's zero clarity for what your future holds. If you stick with this guy, you need to know what he wants to exist in. Like, if he sits back and he thinks about himself in 10 years, what type of man does he want to be? And what type of relationships does he want to have in his life? Because it needs to start with that answer. Because in order to transition yourself into who you want to be, you have to picture that person. You have to know what version of yourself you want to be on a big scale. Okay, this is where like my maturity came in after having kids, is I pictured when my kids are 12 and they're pointing over at a guy, me, saying, that's my dad. Who's that guy? Who's that guy? I picture that guy. I picture what I want that guy to be for my kids. And then from there, I take steps to become that guy. As time goes, I take those steps. And the beautiful thing about that is when you picture the person you want to become, it shows you all the tough shit you have to change now, or the tough shit that needs to be changed now. Because let's say in this case, he pictures himself as a strong, upstanding lead of a household that doesn't take disrespectful shit from his family. He pictures that guy 10 years down the road. That shows the tough thing of, you want to be that guy? You stand up to them now. You set the precedent now. Now, if he sees a guy 10 years down the road and it's all the same and nothing's ever confronted with, maybe that's your response in terms of, oh, he has no aspirations in order to change this family dynamic. You need to know what he wants to become, because if you don't know what your man doesn't want to become, you don't know what to expect for the future. And I will tell you one thing, standing up to family is the hard, it goes against every childhood ever. If you have to stand up to your family in one capacity or another, you know, and I'm speaking about this in very, very small scales. Like, there's been a few things that popped up where, you know, a resentment built for a second, but it was as simple to me as like, Dad, we need to go get drinks. And then we have a conversation for an hour and everything is completely fine. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't relate to you on that fact. So I'm trying to speak from a side that I do know about, which is becoming a man that you want to become. And that's how I did it. And that's how you get your answers. And I think that's why I have that wife downstairs that trusts me implicitly, who knows that I got us, because she's known from the jump the man I wanted to be. And she saw me taking the steps to be that man. So that builds trust and faith in you, even if he's not there yet. Because if it's out on the table of who he wants to become, you get to watch him take steps to either become that guy or not become that guy. So you get to either be validated or show fallacy in whether or not he's taking the steps to do that. So it's like, hey, you want to become this man. Why are you doing that shit? You want to be a strong, competent leader of our family, but your mom just made 17 underhanded comments at dinner about how much you like to have a beer. And you didn't say a single word. You just kept your fucking head down. That guy wouldn't do that. That 10 years down the road guy wouldn't do that. And I think that's the only place your focus should be. Okay? Because everything else is extenuating. Like, everything else is on the outside of that. You kind of said it briefly in the one portion where you're like, I always pictured myself being brought into like a loving, nurturing family. That's kind of your inner child screaming out, wishing to get that part of you fulfilled because you didn't necessarily feel that. And that's okay to feel that way, but that's not what's necessary as mom and dad. What's necessary as mom and dad is your two's relationship and how you parent your kids and how you navigate within the world together. Everyone else can come in or fall away. And as long as your unit is competent and strong and knows who you are, you're going to be fine. So the extra family members, they're just added onto the pile right now because you're overwhelmed because you don't know where to direct your attention. You need to direct your attention on what is your future going to look like with him? Who does he want to be? Now, you can talk about it. You can be about it. All right. I mean, how many people do you know that are like, yeah, I'm looking too intent. I mean, I've done this in certain capacities, like with like job ideas I have and shit like that. In 10 years, I want to do this. But then it's like actually taking the steps to do that. You don't become that. That's why I've always focused on the personality aspect of myself and who I want to be on a day-to-day with how I interact with the world, and not so much like goals with, you know, this kind of circles back to the conversation I had about Casey. Casey, I feel like, always knew where he wanted to be. I always knew what I wanted to be. And that's allowed me to understand myself very, very clearly in terms of what's going on inside my head. But so you need to understand what he wants to be. And that comes from a conversation. And it does not have to be a heavy conversation. Like, it doesn't have to be like high pressure, like, what do you want to be in 10 years? You know? Shit, show him the answer to this. You could show him this, and he might get really upset, but if he does listen to this, just so you know, dude, no names. It's basically like I'm just talking to her right now, because nobody knows who the hell I'm talking about, okay? But if you get that answer to that one, that will answer all your problems. And then you give it a little bit of time. Let him make steps, because changing who you are, changing your personality, and changing how you navigate throughout the world is a tall task. But as long as you're focused on it and it's fresh on your brain, you take steps to do it, especially if you truly want to be that person. You do the tough things. For example, I used to be a fuckboy, okay? I used to be a little flirt, all right? And I never saw a problem with flirting because I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm talking like way in the past. But when Jordan and I first started dating, I did this fuck around bullshit. Like, first started dating. I mean, dude, we've been together for 11 years. So we're talking a while ago. Like, I was still a young, dumb ass, right? But so Jordan and I were dating, and there was this girl that I like would talk to, not even flirt with, would just talk to for too much. And like I said, there was no flirting. There was nothing sexual about it, but it was definitely inappropriate with the amount that we were talking. And Jordan found out about it, and I lied about it. And Jordan, in that moment, called bluff. She called my bluff. So we had a big fight about it. And it came down to, like, it's a deal breaker for her. And so we had a big fight. We blew up. And shit, dude, I was like 22, I think. And I sat down that night and sat in it. And that's what I thought about. I thought about, okay, this is the girl that you're going to marry. And okay, you can say the whole, I've never flirted. I've never done anything sexual with this girl. Like, it's just talking, like we just talk. And you can take the victim road of, I didn't do anything wrong. Or you can look at the husband and father you want to be in 10 years. Or you can do that. And would that guy do this shit? And if that guy wouldn't do this shit, there's a move that needs to be made here. So I reached out to her. I told her everything. I told her, like, you and I talk too much. It's inappropriate. I'm in a relationship. And she was, like, obviously blindsided because she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But that was a move that I had to make to turn myself into the man. And that is one of those exact examples of transitioning how you are and growing up and maturing takes uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable confrontations, but eventually you mold yourself into that version of yourself as long as you keep that person in focus. You keep your eyes on the prize, so to speak, and that prize is who you want to be. And if you need to get the answers for who he wants to be within his family, what does he picture his family dynamic with his family that he starts? What does he picture his family dynamic as the head of a household? What does he picture his family dynamic raising children? Who's that guy? And sometimes just putting into words for a guy will show him that you got a lot of shit to change, brother. And I hope that that helped. I hope that that in some way at least gave you a focal point so that all the weight of everything else subsides a little bit. You have something to look at now. You have something to aim at. So I would say that that would be probably, if this was me, that would be my aim. Aim at that. And I hope that helped. Cubs, if you want to submit an advice question, you can message me on whatever social media, or you can go to reddit.com/unqualifieddadadvice and you could submit it right there. Please give the podcast a review if you haven't done so already. Subscribe on YouTube if you'd like to, and go pick up some merch, you know? I love you. Go out there. Don't be a bummer. And cheer up, babe.